welcome to Knit Spirit. I'm your host, Ivy Reisner, and this is episode 90, Spinning. I finished ankle coronets with Sushi Sack Glacier. The picture's up on my blog. I'm in love with this pattern. I've done it twice. I'm definitely going to do it again. I think this is probably one of the most clever patterns out there. It does get a little weird, though, when you start decreasing the toe and decreasing the gusset, because it's not an even number of stitches if you're doing it in double-pointed needles. You've got an odd number up on the instep, so you have less on the first needle than on the third. So that makes it sort of interesting even during those decreases. It's a fun pattern. My Citron shawl, which I finished, is on display at my local yarn shop, which is Seaport Yarns in Manhattan. They've only just started to carry Malabrigo, and they wanted something to show off how really soft that yarn is. So they took my shawl and they're hanging it, and I'm kind of thrilled about this. I finished spinning the Joe Van Gogh colorways from the Stitch and Sip Club, and it's going to be a scarf. It's going to be cast on only after I clear the needles, because I've got a lot going on. I've got Tappan Zee. I just finished the first ball of yarn out of four, so I'm hoping that actually means I'm a quarter of the way done. It doesn't quite look it to me. It looks like I might end up having to pick up more yarn for this one. I've got Evenstar going. I'm up to the beaded border, but I haven't cast on that provisional cast on to keep the beading section going. Over more of the point I have, but then I ripped it, cast it on, ripped it, cast it on, ripped it. I'll get it right one of these days. I have a cute little soap sack washcloth set going. It shouldn't take very long to finish. And I have the fountain pen shawl going. As far as mystery knit-alongs, I've got Moonfleet going and the calendar. So there's just too much. And goddess knits, but I can't really keep up with goddess knits. So I'm collecting the clues, and I'm just going to knit it when I have time. So it's just too much on the needles for me. The May clue for the calendar shawl is the even star flower, which is really funny. It's a great choice. It's beautiful. The first Moonfleet clue, it was gorgeous. It was, you knit back and forth to do the border before you pick up along the side to go for the full length. And I had swatched, and I still somehow managed to mess up gauge. So my piece is, my clue one is longer than it should be, which means the shawl is going to be wider than it was supposed to be. I guess this means my row gauge is off. That's kind of odd. But I just finished clue two, which is really pretty. And I have 10 grams left of a 25 gram ball skein, so I think I'm not going to have to worry about running out of yarn. There's 9 clues in total, and I've done 2 of them, although they're not the same size. If I do run out of yarn, it is gradient, so there might be a way to add next color in the sequence. But with this one, I really doubt it, because the way this one works is it starts all gold, then goes mostly gold, partly black, partly gold, all black. So there really is no next in sequence. But we'll see how it all works out. I'm loving the gold with the beads and it in lace weight with a bit of silk and shimmer. I'm just in love with this color. I've been spinning, and I've been prepping to spin quite a bit. I'm still working with that merino. Sometimes I think I'm going to be working with that merino for the next 20 years. I can't finish carding a full ounce of it most evenings because parts of this fleece don't pass the snap test. This is where you hold a strand on either end, one end in one hand, one end in the other, and you snap them apart really fast. If the animal was healthy, if the fleece is healthy, it's supposed to hold together. Parts of this fleece fall right apart. So I have to be really careful to get rid of those parts during the carding. And I did notice something since I have to go so very, very slow and watch for weak spots. If you remember when Judith McKenzie McCohen, I don't know how to pronounce that, when she said that the fiber always goes in the drum carder sideways, I'm going to very hesitantly disagree. She is a mistress of all things spinning, and she probably knows more about that craft than anyone else alive. But when I put the fiber in sideways and the carder started to pull it in, the carder turned it. The carder will take a tip first or butt first, but putting it in sideways, it doesn't take sideways. Now, it may be that putting it in sideways causes it to take in the appropriate fashion per the lock, and that's why you let the carder sort of do what's right for it, but it's not actually going to pull it in sideways. I thought that was really sort of interesting and odd. I even opened the fiber with a flick carder first just to see what it would do, and it still sort of started to straighten it out as I took it in, and by the time it actually hit the major drum portion, it was completely straight. And that, I guess that kind of makes sense if you try to brush any kind of fiber. If you try to brush your hair sideways, it's going to, the action of the brush is going to pull it to a straight feed in. At least this is true if you're feeding it locks. I can't say what would happen if you were blending bats, though I kind of suspect it's the same. I've decided to spin some of that merino as I go, and it's going to be done on a spindle. And this is going to be the largest spindle spun thing I've ever done, but it can be done for most of human history. The spindle was the only option for spinning anything. I'm doing a 2-ply worsted weight, so it should go pretty fast. And I'm aiming at 10 wraps per inch in the final yarn, so I figure 15 wraps per inch for the single. This is because plied yarn isn't exactly double the thickness of the single. It's bigger. You need less because it's going to open up. Some of the tension is going to be off of it when it untwists, and it's going to boof out some. So I go for about 1.5 times the final for the plies, for 2-ply, and double the final for 3-ply. Although I've picked up this app called the iSpin Toolkit for the iPod Touch, and that lets you plug in your numbers and it comes out with the computation. When I plugged in for 10 wraps per inch, it said I wanted 14 3/4 or something like that. So close enough either way. And I was thinking about getting or building a handy andy because it's going to be a lot of plying on the spindle, and I really don't like it when my fingers start turning blue during the whole andy and plying bracelet thing. And I'd like to be able to stop mid-plying and just put it down, do something else, come back to it. But instead, I found a really great trick online. What you do is you grab a ball winder, be really careful not to lose the end, and be careful to keep everything under moderate tension. Wind the yarn from the spindle onto the ball winder. I keep the spindle in the palm of my hand and let the yarn pour out between my middle and ring finger because that spins the spindle in my hand, which means it's going to go faster, but it's really easy to control and make sure that the end doesn't pop off the end of the spindle and make a really bad tangle. Because singles are really, really active. And once they get tangled, it's no mean feat to untangle them. I've never succeeded in untangling a tangled single. I just end up having to throw it out. Then you ply the inside of the ball to the outside. And again, be really careful that it flows well and doesn't have a chance to tangle or anything. I think the same thing will work with an Astaspinde, which means it'll work with any tube, like the core of a roll of paper towels or anything like that that can double as an Asta. If your yarn breaks during plying, it's a sign that it's underspun. And I found you can put it back together again with a felted joint. I don't know why I never realized that before. It seems sort of painfully obvious, but I never tried it. And I finally tried it during the Joe Van Gogh thing, and it's perfect. You feather the ends together the same way you would for joining a new ball when knitting, and you felt it together, and off you go. It's invisible, and it's really effective. And often the yarn breaks at a thin point, so this is just going to thicken that out and make it even less noticeable, and make the thin spot even less noticeable. So that was really cool. Oddly, this only happens to me while I'm doing a chain ply. It doesn't happen when I'm doing just regular 2-ply, and I wonder if the amount of twist in the singles is different from both methods. I have to find a place, maybe the Amos book, and look it up. It sounds odd. I wouldn't think it was the case, but it seems odd. Maybe the yarn is just under more tension during chain plying. And it happens to me only when I'm spinning with a wheel, never with a spindle. And I think that's because if I underspin with a spindle, the feedback is pretty close to instant that there's a problem. The Jacob is going to be spun on the wheel, but I haven't decided on a final project yet, so I haven't decided on a final weight yet. The alpaca, I'm pretty sure I want to spin at a fingering weight, maybe a sports weight, so I'm thinking maybe 25 wraps per inch in the final yarn, 20 wraps per inch in the final yarn, and then 30 wraps per inch in the single. Probably something along that. I don't want it to be too heavy because alpaca is very, very warm. So working with it at a worsted weight or even a heavy sport weight is kind of going to be too hot for anything I want to do with it. The next thing I'm doing, which is a wool, another stitch and sip, is going to be spun definitely fingering weight, definitely 20 wraps per inch in the final yarn, definitely 30 wraps per inch in the single. And that's going to be for a small shawl. Maybe another try at Traveling Woman. I keep failing this one. And I think it's interesting how spinning progresses. First, we just shoot for stable yarn. If it holds together, it's good. Then we shoot for even yarn. Potluck on the gauge, but as long as it's even, it's good. Then we choose our gauge in advance. And then we start paying attention to the twist per inch and the angle of the twist and all of that. But at all stages, we produce usable yarn just with more and more control. So it's kind of like we do it right, and then we do it more right, and then we do it even more right. And I love that with spinning. It's hard to do it wrong. Just easy to do greater and greater degrees of right. I have two prayer requests for this time. One is for Jean. She is battling cancer, and it doesn't look good. And the other one is for Marcy. She's a little girl, and she is facing very serious medical problems as well. So please keep the both of them in your prayers. And that should wrap us up for this time. Until next time, be blessed and keep knitting.